السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. من حاجي فاروق صاحب رحمة الله عليه كتاب in the court of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he mentions a beautiful thing there. He explains all the different salams, etc., that a person will make to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he is allowed to present himself at the royal court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you reach, then what type of salam to make, and then he gives all different guidelines. A person must carry that kitab with him if he's going to Madina Munawwara. Keep the kitab handy, read it. In fact, I'm talking about myself, I don't know if it's anybody else, but myself, I have found that if I read the kitab, obviously not the entire kitab, but the part where he is explaining that how a person should proceed to the Roza Mubarak to offer salam. So that part there, generally when, if Allah Pak allows us to be in Madina Munawwara, so at that night when you are, one is now during the day sometime you're going to make salam, is busy or whatever, you hardly have time to even stand there. But at night, if a person is going and is going to make a, he intends to go and present a bit of a lengthy salam, so then I like to read that kitab first before going. And I have really found a lot of difference, a lot of benefit reading that kitab and then going to go and make salam. The whole mindset, everything is put on track. And our kabirin, our ahlullah, there's a lot of Nuraniyat even in their kitabs. If a person reads their kitabs, then he gets some Nuraniyat from there as well. So he mentioned there that when a person is going to be departing now from Madina Munawwara, so he goes to make his final salam, his last salam for that trip, and he doesn't know if it is the last salam of his life. So there are many things that even Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned, that we mustn't go there. Now the person has finished, packed up all his bags, everything is packed up, and he finished, called the taxi also, and it's all set to leave, and then he just runs in there now, just make one short salam and go out. So from well in advance on that last day, the person should go away to the haram, condition his mind before getting ready and packing anything and whatever, because there shouldn't be any hurry when he is going to make his last salam. Shouldn't be any hurry, number one. Number two, he mustn't show like an enthusiasm to want to leave Madina Munawwara. What is the sense in packing a bag if your life is going to come out there? And that's what you want. So leave the bag for last. Why waste time packing a bag when you're not going to need to pack the bag? Wait till the last moment now. In Gujarati they say, Jarauri now. Now you have to now, pulling yourself, like such an effort to pack that bag, to leave Madina Munawwara. So that's how it should be. But obviously if he's travelling with people, then he mustn't delay all the people also. There is a time for departure, he must ensure that he is ready by that time. Now, I don't want to go into all those details, but Haji Farooq Sahib mentioned that now the person is going to make his last salam. So in that last salam, he says, Al-Wida, He says, Vida Sanam. So he says, Al Vida, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that now I'm bidding farewell, I'm leaving. And then he says, that you say, Al Firaq, Ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now we are going to be separated. For the time that the person was there in Madina Munawwara, if he really spent his time properly, then his whole focus is only on Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's only trying to build that muhabbat for Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And why? So that this propels him to make amal on sunnah. When Adim, he's in another masjid, and from today he's going to be starting some seerah program there in that masjid. So he was asking me, he says that as an introduction now, what must we tell the musallis, like what should be our mindset when we studying the seerah of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the words of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had come to my mind at that time. So I told him, I said that a person follows someone for three reasons, either due to Jamal, Kamal or Ihsan. All these three things, if we look at it in Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is to the highest degree. So we're studying the seerah to learn the Jamal, Kamal and Ihsan of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we fall deeply in love with Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that love propels us to make amal on the sunnah, because the sunnah is like our jewelry. If we haven't got the sunnah, Allah Pak is not going to look at us with love. If we want Allah Pak to look at us with love, then Allah Pak is saying, فَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, follow Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah, Allah will love you. So this is our, otherwise we got nothing else. What do we have? We are, as that Sahabi told that general from Hajjaj bin Yusuf's army, he said that your inception was a drop of najis blood. At present you are carrying feces in, you are carrying najasat in your body, and your end result will be a rotting corpse. So what do you have to be proud of? So that is what we are. But the only thing that will give some worth to this body in the sight of Allah is if this body adorns itself with the sunnah of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now when the person is in Madina Munawwara, every moment that he got, he's reading Durud Sharif, he's looking at the Gumbat, he's sitting in the Haram, he's going to the Roza Mubarak, then he's at the Tahajjud Mihrab, and he's on the Jannat Ka Tukra, and he's trying to get a chance there by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mimbar. And every way he's just only centered around developing this love for Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now that stay comes to an end. So now he is saying to Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Al-Firaq, that now I'm going to be separated from my beloved. I'm going to be separated. He's saying Al-Firaq Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he mentioned a beautiful thing. He said, I don't know whether he says the thought came to him or whether he learnt it from someone, whatever. So he said that at that time, he, I don't know whether he's quoting some other alim himself now, but he says that at that time, he said that with the Al-Firaq, he rather say Al-Wisal Ya Rasulullah. Al-Wisal. That till we meet again, it's not just a parting. Ummid is to meet again. So till the next trip, till I come back again, Al-Wisal. And then, even if a person doesn't go back to Madina Munawwara, but definitely he will have, if he's got ishq, the true ashik, and he is making amal on sunnah, then definitely Hawza Kawthar he'll have wisal. At Hawza Kawthar he will have wisal. See, when the breeze from Madina Munawwara is coming, then I didn't know Prophet Salim is coming back now. The whole mind is just going to Madina Sharif. Last night somebody, my brother-in-law phoned me from there, he's telling me now, we've just got one night left, Madina Munawwara, make a lot of dua. So the mind goes away there, Madina Sharif. So we come back to our seerah here. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was departing from Makkah Mukarramah, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to look at Makkah Mukarramah. He turned, went on to a little bit of an elevated place, and he turned and he looked at Makkah Mukarramah. And then he said something. He said, by the Qasam of Allah, you are the best of Allah Ta'ala's lands. Makkah Mukarramah is the best of Allah Ta'ala's lands. This is why the sawab of one salah in Makkah Mukarramah is double that of Madina Munawwara. The land of Makkah Mukarramah, that is the best of all lands. But the place where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, Roza Mubarak, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, that particular piece of land, not the whole of Madina Munawwara, but that particular piece of land, that is the most afzal piece of land in this world. If you take the whole of Makkah Mukarramah, the whole of Madina Munawwara, then comparatively Makkah Mukarramah is a greater land than Madina Munawwara. But the Roza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that land is the greatest, most virtuous, greatest land on this earth. And forget the earth, it's a unanimously accepted amongst all the scholars that it is even greater than the Arsh. That land is even greater than the Arsh. Now, when we are allowed to stand there, few meters away from the Roza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah Pak is allowing us to stand so close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What close proximity a person is to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great thing that is to be allowed to stand there. So khair, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving, so he turned around and he said that, by the Qasam of Allah, you are the best of Allah Ta'ala's lands, and you are the most beloved in the sight of Allah. If I was not forced to leave you, I would never have left you. If I wasn't forced to leave you, I would never have left you. So many a times, what happens is, out of ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you will find many Nahat Sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madina Munawwara. So our hearts are generally pulled towards Madina Munawwara. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahi, aashiqo ka suna hai wahi hai watan, phir Madina ki lazzat ko main kya kahu, kaash hota Madina mein mera watan. The person automatically, naturally is pulled to Madina Munawwara. So sometime we discount Makkah Mukarramah wa Nuzbiyah. Must never ever do that. Makkah Mukarramah is a great land. Great land. Yes, our beloved, you see, Allah Pak is in Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Munawwara. Allah Pak is everywhere. Baitullah is only in Makkah Sharif. Allah Pak is everywhere. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Roza Mubarak is only in Madina Munawwara. So the heart gets pulled there. Person wants to go. He got Allah there. Allah is same. Whether he's in Makkah Mukarramah or Madina Munawwara, there's no such a thing as distance for Allah Pak. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only there in Madina Munawwara. So if person gets pulled, he wants to go to Madina Munawwara. Those who have real ishq and they got true hearts. So, but then when a person is in Makkah Mukarrama, he must never ever feel that now he can take things easy or take things lightly. Sometimes, a lot of times it happens when a person is in Madina Munawwara, it's very, very serious and you know, time to time, in the haram and everything is. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is here, you know. But when he comes away to Makkah Mukarrama, then a person gets laxed. Then one brother was being very, very honest. And he mentioned, he says that normally I like to spend a lot of time in Makkah Mukarrama. However, some family member went recently and they explained that due to the construction that's taking place, so there's a lot of dust and a lot of dust in the haram, and you know, it's a bit uncomfortable. And the crowd also, it's a lot of crowd. So the crowd is not too much. The thing is that because of the construction, now all the people are confined to a certain space. Under normal circumstances, some will go away upstairs, some will be here, some will be there. But because of the construction, now one whole side of the haram is closed. So people are restricted to confined space. So that's why you're finding more of a crowd. So I don't know exactly what I told him at that time. But after that, again, somebody told me and somebody else also told me. So the two things that came to my mind is that it just so happened, somebody told me yesterday now about Makkah, this is very dusty and all that. And at the same time, last night, I opened that kitab, the same kitab I was telling you all about that last week or previous week or whatever. So I opened that kitab, and in that kitab they got a photo, of the haram, dating back many, many years back. So at that time, I can't remember exactly the year there now, what year it was. But at that time, there was no marble also on the floor. Everything was just sand. And if you have to go to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Zamana, it was all sand there. So now with the dust, you're getting one small taster, like, you know, little taster of what it may have been like at that time. Although it's nowhere near, and then when we come out of there, we still got another umpteen sets of clothes in the room to go and change. And we got nice bathroom there, hot water, cold water, everything. They didn't have all these amenities, and they still made tawaf like that. They didn't found the need now, they almost cut by stay short here in Makkah Mukarrama because of dust. So that was one thing that came to mind. The other thing that came to mind was that there is a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the effect that the person who is in the path of Allah, so the dust that settles on his body, any part of his body, so that part gets prohibited for the fire of Jahannam. So I said, normally now if you're making tawaf, I mean you are in the path of Allah, you go on for Umrah, you are in the path of Allah, and over and above that, you are walking around Baytullah. Walking right around Baytullah. Now normally when you go there, so there's no chance of any dust getting us normally under normal circumstances. Now the person who is afforded an opportunity to go there now while the construction is on, so a little bit of dust he'll get. Then the other ajeeb thing is, if somebody comes and tells us, give us some stones, one person who is a family member of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, was very, very generous to give me some stone, few pieces of stone, which he said came from around Baytullah, and they were digging at one time, they were doing some this thing, so they one, two pieces of stone that somebody had brought. So he gave me one, two pieces of that stone. So that stone we would treasure it. Tabarrukan, because it came from Haram or from Baytullah or whatever. So a person says, I've got some dust from there, got some this from there, got some that from there. So now that building they're breaking and busting and all that, the dust is coming from where? Is it dust from the Haram building? So not tabarruk, that dust. Why that dust is not tabarruk? You see, our ishq is a cardboard type of an ishq. See? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he removed his kurta and used it as a broom to clean the cave before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could go inside. They were sahaba, you see. Sahaba. He didn't think, I've got still long suffer to go, I'm going to have a bath, I'm going to wash this kurta. Took his kurta out, used it as a broom to clean the cave. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. We worry about the dust in the Haram. Dust in the Haram. So that dust is tabarruk dust. Take it, put on our face. Be happy with it. When are you going to get a chance to make tawaf while construction is on? It's a chance in a lifetime. You don't know when next construction is going to happen there and you're going to get dust and all that. Normally when they do work, they very, very, how they close everything up, hardly get any dust. Now this is like a big thing, so that's why the dust and all that. So our ishq mustn't only be like dust, just get blown and go away. No, our ishq must be deep rooted, you know. Now imagine dust is blowing us away from the haram too. How much ishq we got? So khair. After leaving home, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the home of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They then left from a back window or a back door or something from Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house, and they set out for Ghar-e-Thur, the cave of Thur, which is approximately 3 miles from Makkah Mukarrama. There was a cave at the peak of this mountain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, he made the dua when he was leaving. Now, some lesson we learn from the Hijrah is that the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they had the highest yaqeen and tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's yaqeen and tawakkul, what can be said about that? However, despite all the yaqeen and the tawakkul and everything, they still adopted means. They adopted means. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they left, they were hiding their tracks. Then they were traveling at the time when it was hot, because that's the time that people won't be out and about. They were traveling when it was hot time, and people won't be out and about. Then the time when people would be out and about, that time they were taking their rest. So they made use of all these means. Now they could have said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, no, this is my yaqeen, this is my tawakkul, I'm going to walk. If it's meant for me to get caught, I'll get caught. Not meant for me to get caught, I won't get caught. No, that is foolish way of thinking. The time when it came for that, when Allah Pak instructed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out of the house, then he never adopted any means or anything. There he came out, full tawakkul in Allah Pak, although 100 swords were surrounded his house. There he walked out. But under normal circumstances, adopted means to show us that this dunya is a place of means. We have to utilize the means. Make use of the means. The Quraysh, now after we discussed that part already, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala came out. Now they sing, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala asked him, where's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, I don't know. Right? Which was a fact, he didn't know. Right? Then from there, where they went, street, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house. Just that action of the Quraysh, that straight from there they went to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house, that speaks volumes and volumes and volumes of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's relationship with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't need anything else. Nothing else you need. Any person who comes to point a finger at Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, you just have to tell them this one incident. Finish. They must close their mouth. That even the kuffar, they too knew. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here, the answer will get there. Because if he is not here, that means Hazrat Abu Bakr is also gone. Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. One of the two. So they go to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house. When they went there, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, she answered the door. Abu Jahl asked her, where is her father? So she said, I don't know. So Abu Jahl, he slapped her, you know. Slapped her. He slapped her so hard that an earring that she was wearing, that earring also fell off. How hard he slapped her. Now, who was she defending? Who was she defending? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest after Allah. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who is the greatest after all the Anbiya alayhi muslim. She is defending these two. And where are they gone? Making hijrat under the instruction of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she has to undergo this. She has to undergo this. And today's time, if little bit we have to undergo some test, then we say, but I'm making dua, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, why things are not coming right, why this problem is still happening, that problem is still happening. Tests must come. In this world, there must be tests. This world is a place of tests and trials. There will be tests. So he slapped her. Earring also fell off. They began frantically searching now, going this way, that way, that way. Now they're at a total loss. Now they thought everything is over last night. They took Shaitan's mashwara. And they thought everything, you know, it's like when Shaitan gives a person waswasa, no, take the bank loan, take the bank loan. All your problems will be sorted out. We're talking about the conventional banks where they are charging interest and all that. So Shaitan says, no, take the loan. All your problems will be sorted out. After the person takes the loan, his problems start. So Shaitan gave, that's Shaitan's mashwara. Shaitan gave these people mashwara. They thought, right, this is the man. He gave the right mashwara. We need to follow this. Everything is over now. Now they're finding themselves in a major problem. Now they are running helter-skelter, trying to find Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They can't find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anyway. So now they, you see, the kuffar need incentive, greed, to motivate them. Because they need to keep the search. Search must carry on. So how are they going to keep up the search? They put a reward. They say, anybody who finds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they get 100 camels. So now the greed for this 100 camels got every person now. Every person on their horse, on their camel, on foot, they're going in every direction to try and find. Because 100 camels you're going to get here now. In the meanwhile, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, this was the spirit of even the Sahabiyat. That, never mind, she endured that hiding from Abu Jahl and everything, but it never stopped her. It never stopped her in what she needs to do. So that Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she prepared food, and in her haste now, she couldn't find any container. You know, they never had cupboards and cupboards like our homes would, every size of a Tupperware you can think of, in every shape, every size, every color they got, full up. And the Tupperware ladies who are selling Tupperware to the areas know which people to punt, which ladies to punt. They come, no, we've got new catalogue, something new. Very, very good. You say, very, very good. And if you ask your wife, what are you going to do with this thing here? No, you all don't understand this. This thing here, we need it in the kitchen. We need it here in the kitchen. Tupperware. And if they gave you pot cost or something in the Tupperware pile, just make sure you bring it back home. Otherwise, we'll have another social case on our hands. Don't ever lose the Tupperware. If you're frightened you're going to lose the Tupperware, rather just get one old ice cream Tupperware or something. Say, no, I'll take it in there. Or just wrap it up in a foil or something and give it to me. I'll take it like that. Rather, don't touch the Tupperware. So khair, she couldn't find any container or something to put it in. So what she did is that in those days, the Arab woman, they used to wear like a type of a belt made out of material, type of a belt, like a sash made out of material to tie their garment, the lower garment, to tie it. Like what we would use a belt, like how we use belt, but it's made out of material. So she took that belt of hers and she tore it in half. And with half of it, she made a like a potloo, you know. She tied the food in there, closed it up, and she sent the food. So from then onwards, she was given the title Zun Nitaqain. That the one with two belts, because she tore her belt in half, so she ended up with two. So that became her laqab. Now it was a laqab that was given to her in honor. So years later, when there was a confrontation between her and Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and he called her by that laqab, but not in a way of honor. So she told him, do you know how I got that laqab? Do you know where I got that laqab from? And then she told him this incident that had happened. Hajjaj bin Yusuf also, after that conversation he had with Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, then he made arrangements with his people and he said, no, take them away back home, rather send them away. But khair, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, his qurbani and the qurbani of his children, you see, sometimes you will find a person who is prepared to sacrifice his wealth for deen. Why is prepared to sacrifice his wealth? Because he got a lot of it. He got a lot of it. So if he sacrifices, it doesn't really change his financial status in any way. So the extras, whatever extras he's got, he spends it in the way of deen. But his main capital and his reserves for a rainy day, all that is there in place. But a little bit extras, the shavings, extras. So some people shavings are a lot, and some people are less. So the person is not afraid to use those shavings in the path of deen. But very seldom do you find a person, so you will get some people, they'll be prepared to assist financially. You will get some people, they are prepared to assist physically. But very seldom will you get a person who is financially well off. He's financially well off. He is sacrificing his wealth and he is prepared to help physically. 9 out of 10, the person who is wealthy and is giving his money, so he'll stand in the back. Now you do this, you do that, you do that. Now, you know, I'm giving the money now, so I'll stand here. You do that, you do this, you carry on. Very, very seldom you'll find the person who's giving the money also and he's doing the physical work also. He's making the khidmat and he's giving the money. Very seldom you'll find that. This was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned that at the time when he embraced Islam, he had wealth. He had wealth. Now we're talking about wealth that is saved, you know, extra wealth put away. He had wealth of 40,000 dirhams. That is what he was worth at the time of accepting Islam. He was worth 40,000 dirhams. Right? At the time of making hijrat, at the time of making hijrat, only 5,000 of those dirhams remained. The rest of that money was used for the cause of deen. Right? The 5,000 dirhams he took with him, as we mentioned the last week. He didn't leave anything at home, but the children, they just pacified the grandfather. They said, no, they showed him some stones. He couldn't see. They said, no, father left some gold nuggets behind. Right? But he had taken, he had plus minus 5,000-6,000 dirhams left. So he took that money on hijrat and he went away. And it is mentioned that this money also, this money, this 5,000 dirhams that was left, this was the same money that was used for the purchasing of the land for Masjid al-Nabawi. The last monies that he had left, that also was used for the purchasing of the land of Masjid al-Nabawi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now he gave the money. He gave the money, his last cent, not giving the shavings. He's giving his last cent and he's still doing the physical khidmat. This was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Very rare, something very, very rare to find. When they set out for the cave of Sur, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's state, his condition was a state of restlessness. Very, very restless as they were going now towards the cave. Sometimes he's going in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he's coming behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's walking a little bit, he's going in the front again, he's coming in the back again. So he's carrying on like this, then he's going on the right side, then he's going on the left side, like restless, bedchen. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, so, oh Abu Bakr, what's the matter? What's wrong? In front, in the back, right, wing left, what's the matter? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not concerned about myself. I'm not concerned about myself. But I'm concerned about you. It is possible that someone may be in pursuit to attack you from behind. That's why I sometimes walk behind you. But then I think maybe they're lying in ambush in the front. So then I come away to the front. Then I think, no, maybe somebody is going to come from the right hand side. So I go away on the right. Then somebody is going to come left hand side. I go in the left. So this is why I keep rotating and moving from this place to that place. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, you know Abu Bakr, is it your intention that you should be killed and I must be saved? That you are putting yourself in harm's way, you're putting yourself in the danger zone. Do you want that you must be killed and I must be saved? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the qasam of that being who sent you with the truth, I desire that I should be killed and you must be spared. Rather, I be killed, you must be spared. When they reached the cave, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait outside the cave for a while. Then he went into the cave. He cleaned it up. He also told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you wait outside. Because generally in the caves now, there may be some snake, there may be some scorpion, there may be some animal that has made this its house. So you wait outside. Let me go in. If there's any danger, I will face that danger first. You will get saved. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala covered all the holes by tearing his clothing. And he's stuffing the holes. One hole remained and he closed this by placing his heel over it. He then called out to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now you can come in. Place is ready for you now. Now you come inside. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered and he placed his Mubarak head in the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and he fell asleep like this. Sleeps in the lap of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if Allah Pak gives us tawfiq, Allah Pak takes us to Madina Munawwara, so when we stand there in front of the Qabr Mubarak of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and we make salam to him, we say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Bakr, Assalamu alayka ya Khalifat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Assalamu alayka ya Sihr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Assalamu alayka ya Thani athnaini ilhuma fil ghar. All these different salams a person makes. And then he tells us, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Jazakallahu anna wa an ummati Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala reward you. We are thanking you. I am thanking you and I'm thanking you on behalf of the entire ummah. So then we must have all this in our mind. What are we thanking Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala for? This is why when a person is intending to go to Haramain Sharifain, he must read up a seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi used to always give this advice. Read up on seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all this thing is fresh in the mind. It's fresh in the mind. Now when the person goes Madina Munawwara, person goes Makkah Mukarrama, and he's got the whole 23 years of Nubuwwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has got it fresh in his mind. When they show him the library and they say, this is the place of the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he's got the whole history in his mind. Now that is another whole incident again. If you have to discuss now the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's time mostly people who do ziyarat and all that, now they got the next group waiting there. So they're driving also, this is that, that is that, that is that, that is that. Just carry on. But all this history behind it, there's no time to explain. So this is why we must read the seerah. Read the seerah before going. So when the person goes there now, he's got everything in his mind. So when they say that this is the birthplace of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately, when they tell him that where this palace is, that was that mountain where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam split the moon, now he got everything comes to mind. Because he read the whole seerah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Create within us a deep-hearted ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the tawfiq to make amal upon each and every sunnah. and give us an opportunity that again and again Allah Pak must take us to Haramain Sharifain, and Allah Pak must afford us an opportunity despite our deficiencies. Allah Pak must afford us an opportunity that we can present ourselves at the royal court of Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.